Leshana Abba Birushalayim. Next year in Jerusalem is a wish that we say by the end of every Seder. By this, when every Jew anywhere in the world, in Jerusalem, even if he sits in Jerusalem itself or anywhere else in the world, will say next year in Jerusalem. That's the other time of the year. Then we announce Leshana Abba Birushalayim. There is one more time during the year, in a very important day, in a very important service, we are now the same thing. Yom Kippur, by the end of Ne'ilah, we announce next year in Jerusalem. You know, you probably heard about Yuli Edelstein. He was the speaker of the Knesset. Before he came to Israel, he was a refusenik. He was in Russia. When he was born, when he grew up, he knew from nothing. Well, then he heard about Israel and he got excited about Israel and he became a Zionist and he became a refusenik. Then he started to learn about Judaism. It all came together. He discovered his Judaism step by step. And in Russia, in the 80s, there was not too many teachers to teach about Judaism. Was one, he was a, was a, I think his name is Grisha, was a Hasidic Jew in Moscow, who was teaching all the young people about Judaism. You know, most of the Hasidim left Russia over the years, in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. Everybody tried, who was able to run away. But the Rebbe was not a big fan of the idea, because when the Hasidim leave Russia, means who stays, people know nothing. Then the Shoichet is gone, and the Moel is gone, and the Rabbi is gone, and the teacher is gone. You understand what's going on? And the Gabbai of the Shul is gone, and the person who cares for a Jewish for kosher mikveh is gone. Basically, Judaism is gone, and who is left? Jews who know nothing. The Rebbe didn't tell him not to leave, but the Rebbe said in a few public opportunities, he said that they would ask me, they should never leave. This Grisha actually fulfilled the Rebbe's wishes. He stayed. He didn't go. And he lived until he was an old man, and he died. And he had one of his cronies, one of his people who he brought closer to Judaism, was Yuli Edelstein. And he said that Yuli says that on Yom Kippur, they used to come to this synagogue to pray there. Was one synagogue that was open in Moscow beside the big synagogue. It's called Marina Roshta. And there was a little Chabad room that was the Chabad synagogue. Then they were all praying with him on Yom Kippur. He was the chazan. And by the time it came to say, no, you say next year in Jerusalem by the end of the service, literally by the end of the service, they all bowed down their heads and they said it secretly, Lashana Abba Birushalayim, because saying in common is Russia that you want to go to Jerusalem, that means you're a traitor. Or is Russia not good enough for you? Is Mother Russia not good enough? You're going to the Zionists, to the people on the side of America, to the people who are against the evil, to the saint. What do you mean? Then even to announce this line, they had to do it in a quiet, in a hushed tone. It was the secret of all the young guys who were making against the government, saying quietly in the synagogue next year in Jerusalem. But the question is, when it started, this next year in Jerusalem business? How many years ago Jewish people start to announce in the synagogue next year in Jerusalem? Then the first record that they find about it is, I think, 1,000 years ago. Some rabbi writes about it. And the way he writes about it, it's not like it's a new thing. He writes it as a famous thing that everybody knows, that you announce on Pesach next year by the end of the Seder next year in Jerusalem. On Yom Kippur, the records are not even so long. There is no 1,000 years of record that they said next to Jerusalem. Doesn't mean they didn't say it, but the recording business is not there. It's not recorded. There is no proofs. But on Yom Kippur, the way where they put it in the service shows that was done by important rabbis, and it was very seriously orchestrated and planned out. It's not a by the way that some people started to scream next in Jerusalem. You know, on Yom Kippur by Ne'ilah, we announced Shema Yisrael by the end of the service once. Then we say Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto three times. Then we say the word Hashem Hu Elokim, God is our God. God is our Lord. And we announce it seven times. That's the peak, the climax of Yom Kippur. And then we start the Kaddish. And in the middle of the Kaddish, we stop. And we blow the shofar. You know, you blow the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. That's a sign that the fest is over. And right after the shofar blowing, we announce next year in Jerusalem. Now, to stop in middle of the Kaddish is not a common thing. You don't stop in middle of a Kaddish. Kaddish is considered, is treated in Jewish law, like saying God's name. Just like you don't say God's name in vain, you don't say Kaddish whenever you're in the mood. People tell me, oh, I say Kaddish for my parents every day. No, in the early years when I heard that, I said, oh, I'm so impressed you go to services every day. Tell me, no, I'm saying it in my house. You cannot say it in your house, Kaddish. Huh?
Why every day?
When you are a mourner, the 11th month of the mourner, you recite Kaddish for your parents every day.
I understand, but
yeah,
after the mourning.
No, you talk about this period. You said, my father passed away, and I'm going, I used to say Kaddish with my father every day, and I was so impressed with him. He says Kaddish every day. Then he tells me he's doing it in his own house. I tell him, in your own house? You need to have a minion to say it in front. Kaddish is about glorifying God's name in public. It kadal, may God's name be sanctified and glorified. Then if you do it in your own house, it means nothing. It's actually not allowed to do it. Then if the rabbis put the next year in Jerusalem, they interrupted the Kaddish with blowing the shofar and saying next year in Jerusalem, it's a very, very important thing for them. They felt it's very, very crucial. The question is, why these 2 days they chose to say next year in Jerusalem? Yom Kippur and the Seder and Pesach. That I saw an explanation, and because these 2 days, people miss the temple more than any other day of the year. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
On Pesach, the Jews used to come to Jerusalem, pilgrimage to make to Jerusalem, right? Mm-hmm. And bring the Passover lamb and offer the lamb in the temple as a sacrifice, and then get the meat. And then the whole family and friends and just share the meat, and everybody gets a little piece of the meat, and they eat it as a Passover lamb. Mm-hmm. Then the whole holiday of Pesach was around the temple. There is in the second temple, there is even non-Jewish reporters, if you want, who were in Jerusalem by the Seder night when they offered the Passover lamb, and they describe how many people were there and the excitement and everything. Then when the temple was destroyed, when it's like, you know, sometimes a person loses a parent, you know, he feels it on certain days, you know, when you marry off your child and your father is not there or your mother is not there, then you feel the pain much more. And Seder, when everybody was, they used to do the Seder in Jerusalem, and most of the Jews were living in Israel, and now there is no temple, and you sit in your home, and you don't have the meat of the sacrifice, then you feel the pain, then you feel the void of the temple. That's when you feel it, more than ever. That's why they said on Pesach, next to Jerusalem. And the same thing is on Yom Kippur. In biblical times, we didn't pray so much in Yom Kippur. This thick prayer book, the Marzer, was not there. What they used to do is, we had to fast. The fasting in Yom Kippur is a biblical mitzvah. Then in the second temple, they prayed the Shema, they said the Ten Commandments, maybe a few small prayers, but that was it. What was Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur was the day that the high priest will enter the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and pray on behalf of the whole Jewish people. And when he came out alive, and when there was they used to tie a red string, and when the red string turned white, they knew that God had forgiven the Jewish people. Then the whole eyes were directed towards the Holy Temple. Is the high priest in already? Is he out already? You understand? It was all about the temple. No. And you, when you read on Yom Kippur, you know, later in the day, there is, it's called the Seder Avodah. This, we read, we pray, we read in the Marzer, the day are what the high priest used to do in the temple in Yom Kippur. Until today, every year we read about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we prostrate ourselves. It's because the high priest used to prostrate on Yom Kippur in the temple. The whole thing we try to do as much. Everyone is trying to be a high priest, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Then Yom Kippur is another day than when you sit in the synagogue and you read, and then there is prayers. This wasn't the time of the temple, but now we have no temple. We had the temple destroyed. And we are in exile. And we lament the missing of the temple. You understand?
Yep.
We lament that the void of the temple. Then these 2 days, we feel more than any other day the pain that we are not in Jerusalem, that we don't have a temple. That's why this today is the most appropriate time to, these 2 days is the most appropriate time to announce next year in Jerusalem. But I think there is also a more practical reason. You know, how many Jews go to shul, go to synagogue on a regular Shabbat or on a regular holiday?
Not many.
10%, 20%. Let's be generous. 20% of the Jewish people go to synagogue. I don't think more. If there is 15 million Jews in the world, to say that more than 3 million Jews go, 3 million Jews, 20, 2 million, 3 million Jews. Alevi, I wish. But 2 times a year, the Jews are in Jewish environments. Yom Kippur, the Jews are in synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
By the Seder is the most celebrated holiday of the Jewish people until today.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say Hanukkah more. Yeah, but I'm talking about a real holiday. That's Pesach. Then the rabbis who established the tradition of saying next year in Jerusalem, they knew when is the time to do it. They said the 2 times you find the Jews together by a service, if you want to knock in their heads the prayer for Jerusalem, the dream to go back to Jerusalem, to go back to the Holy Land, these are the 2 times. Yom Kippur and the Seder by the Pesach. You're talking to them on other days of the year, number 90% of them are summer rolls, not in the synagogue. On the beach, I don't know where they are. They're not in the synagogue. You're wasting. The guys who come to the synagogue, they pray for the Jerusalem every day, understand? If you want to give that in, everyone in the most, next in Jerusalem, such a simple statement, such a clear statement, not convoluted, not long, straight to the point. Next here in Jerusalem, every child, 2-year-old child can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to remember. There is many songs about it. It's, you can easy to translate. Next year, Shana Abba, Yerushalayim, everybody can remember that. Every Jew that you ever went to a shul, ever attended a Seder, I'm telling you, most of the Jews in the world know this statement, next year Jerusalem.
Yep.
And why they put it there? First of all, to keep the fire, the dream to go back to Jerusalem. That's why we came back to Israel. But more than that, you know, as they know, there is something that's called squatters. When somebody comes to your house, when you have an abundant house, you're in the real estate business. You buy a house and you know you have nothing to do with it. And meanwhile, people go living there and you don't say anything. How long it has to be that you didn't say anything, they can claim that they can be there? What's the law?
It depends on the jurisdiction.
Oh, really?
In Ohio, I don't think there are any squatters' rights. In the city of New York, you know, it's like you're a permanent resident when you knock on the door.
Then in Jewish law, there is also a law about that. If somebody lives in your house for 3 years and you never came and said that's your house, then it's over.
Yep.
Then the Jewish people twice a year made a statement. They made an announcement. Don't think it's yours. We are not in Jerusalem. We are not in Israel. We're in exile. But next year in Jerusalem, it's our land. It's the land that God gave it to us. It's the land that was promised to us in the Bible. Ibam Bosames to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give it to the children, to the descendants. And the Jewish people came in the land of Israel with Joshua. It's all over the Bible. We're making a statement. You might be there today, tomorrow. I then 10 years from now, but you should know, we didn't forget. It's our land next year in Jerusalem.